This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine, special Midsummer Carnival Day edition. It is Brendan and David here for an hour. We're going to squeeze a lot in. How are you, David?
I'm well and happy Midsummer to you.
Oh, it's been fantastic. Now, I'm going to interview you for a little while. You've had a huge day already.
I have.
Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to over at Alexandra Gardens.
Right. Well, of course, almost 100,000 people would be there right now. As I was leaving to come do the show here today, people were streaming in still. So, you know, like it's really filling up. I was on air with Sue at midday, and so we did an hour live to air, and it was fantastic. We did covered some really nice little issues, but it was just lovely being there on that stage, watching the people just arriving. And by the time we'd finished on that hour, it was starting to get really crowded. And then I was on one of the stalls for about an hour and a half.
Yes.
I'm part of the Globe. I was part of the Globe stall that I was on. So that was busy. There's a Rainbow Directory out, which is taking the place of the Also Directory, which a lot of people would remember that because it was around for 20 years. Now, when stopped existing, the Rainbow, there was nothing.
Yeah.
So for the last 2 years, there's been a terrible void. And a lot of people have missed it. So Globe actually said we need to do something about it. So that's why the Rainbow Directory is around. And the app was launched today. So anyone out there that would like to download the app, you just go to online and just go m.rainbowdirectory.org and then just follow it. And you don't go to the app store. You go to the internet. So it's midsummer m.rainbowdirectory.org. And then
such a great thing. Yes. And well, then, and we're leading up to the biggest thing.
The big
I was
event.
Excited about this, but I missed it. Tell us about it.
Well, it was about 10 to 5 to 3. They were running a bit ahead of themselves, so we were supposed to have done it at 3 o'clock. And a few people arrived at 3 and missed it. But on the Team Melbourne stage, where all the sporting groups were, we went for the record of the most people shaking a snow dome at one time. I know it sounds pathetic. I'm a collector of snow domes. I had about 140 of them there. Everyone that came up had to do a gold coin donation to Team Melbourne, and Team Melbourne is the umbrella group for all the sporting groups within our community, and so it helps fund talking to people about going overseas for the out games or whatever. And and it was so much fun. Everyone got into the fun of it, and they were all squashed on stage. 97 people shook a snow dome.
Now, was that the world record?
It is, because it's never been done before. So we smashed the world record by 97 people.
Now, if anyone does listen to your Friday Drive show with Sue, they will know your love of snow globes.
Yep.
Is it something you will do again and make it bigger and better?
Everyone was saying there today, we're coming back next year and doing it bigger and better. And I went, yep. So, but in the meantime, because we'll be putting it up on YouTube, in the meantime, other people will go, hold on, I'm going to beat this. So therefore, the challenge will be bigger next year. Definitely. Will be more than 97.
Well, there's definitely going to be more awareness, I think, next year for this one, though. So yeah. I think it might... We have to get to the big stage next time.
Absolutely.
So. Now, on the topic of Midsummer,
yes.
There's so much on.
There
especially
is.
To do with the arts.
Mm.
I haven't made huge plans yet because I don't like being disappointed in missing things.
Mm.
But one thing that has stood out is it's called Versatile Bitch. Jonathan Duffy, he's been he's sort of a joy, bit of a joy favourite, and he is going to be sort of focusing on, you know, the different types of roles he's had to do to be a full-time performer. Actor and yep. performer. So I'm really excited by that one.
Well, it is, because it's such a hard journey, as we've spoken to so many artists over the weeks, that, you know, like, you have to be very versatile, don't you, to actually make it in the arts, no matter what form of arts you do, because to make a living. And that's going to be the really interesting topic we'll be talking about in our second half of our show today, running the business side of it. But just being a performer, you have to be very versatile. And also it gives you that experience as you know, start off your career, and then you get more and more aware of where you want to go and what you want to do, and just gives you that the timing that you need when you're on stage.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Now, another thing that sort of popped up, this is a bit of a funny one. Rhonda's Fabulous Guided Couture of the Art Centre.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see this. Now, it is Kyle Minnell, who everyone might know from his breakfast show they used to do on Joy.
Yes.
With Kane. And he's along with comedian Thomas Jaspers. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But important as well to sort of look at that history of the Art Centre and arts in Melbourne. I think it's going to be, you know, a lot of fun, but really interesting and informative as well.
Well, over the years, there's actually been ones done at the NTV as well. Que Sera, for instance, talking about her, she used to do ones of NTV. So because there's such an important places here in Melbourne, and, you know, like, a lot of people take themselves far too seriously, it's nice to actually look at it with a bit of a tongue-in-cheek. And exactly. The fact is that, you know, like, they are the organisation, the creative organisations, that they like to have their tongue, you know, like, in their cheek at times, and instead of taking it all too seriously.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, room for both. You can have the highbrow and have a bit of laugh as well.
Absolutely.
But all done with respect, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, totally, yeah. I can see some of these things would be no respect at all. One that stands out for me is Black Faggot. Now, do you know much about this one?
Only a little bit. So tell me a little bit about
What it's not being... being young, brown, and gay is the lead up, and especially when God and your mother are watching you. So as a black artist, Aboriginal artist, who is you know, like, doing this performance, and it I have seen something that they've done before, and I've been really impressed. So I think that one's going to be a bloody good one to see. It could be very edgy, which I think that's what I like about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, there is a fair bit of scope in Midsummer for the sort of more serious experimental things, and then the crowd pleaser kind of things with the lovely Dolly Diamond. You can't go wrong with her show. Well, she's got a few, actually.
her main show, Under the Big Top.
Under the Big Top, yeah. So it's sort of, it's those two extremes of very, you know, over the top, you know, larger than life kind of performance, and then you've got something like Black Faggot, really sort of delving into, you know, darker themes, really.
Another one that I like, just yell it, because we've been talking about the Art Centre, is Vinyl Viagra, which the gorgeous Rhonda Birchmore, who we love here so much, and she really is very much part of our community. And the interesting thing is that this is a journey with vinyl and all the great songs from way back. But she's doing morning shows for the senior citizens, and then she's doing night for the, you know, like, for our community, which I think is just fantastic.
That's wonderful.
And it's going to cross over into both arenas so well, I think. Yeah.
I agree.
What else are you looking at?
That's it for now. I haven't really, as I said, I don't want to make a list of things I want to go see, because I don't want to be disappointed in missing things like I did at the Melbourne International Film Festival.
Right.
So I'm going to play it by ear, but I definitely will go check out Dolly's show as well. You can't miss out.
Absolutely. And another one that I think is worthwhile talking about because of his profile, and he did do it last year in the Cabaret Festival here in Melbourne, is Matthew Mitchum. yes. twists and turns.
Well, if you remember, I did the ad on Joy. You probably heard a little bit.
That's right, because I hear you're doing it, and then I think to myself, oh, that was you.
Who is that? Yeah, who was that sounding man?
Well, who is that very sophisticated voice? And then you say it's me, and I go, oh, obviously not true. Then and another one, laugh out loud. It's Big Gay Comedy Night.
Well, yes, I really do want to go see that. Fiona O'Loughlin, love her, but also one of the other lesbian comedians. She was incredibly funny at another event I attended.
Right,
I won't say the name of the place, but yes.
And Dolly is part of that as well, which, of course, Dolly would have to be part of a comedy show. But, you know, like, as you go through it all, there is so many different aspects. Like for instance, when we were talking to Readings last week, they're doing a literary night, which is going to be a fantastic night. I think they're doing wonderful things within our community as well at the St Kilda store. So that's a good one as well. And then there's Queen Bee. So it's all the music, the 60s music as well, which is always a bit of fun there too. So some great stuff. Get out there and support so many of these because a lot of people are doing it for the first time.
Exactly.
And they're actually putting on their own show, which again beautifully leads into where we're going with our next interview in the second half hour as well. Now, do you want to talk about some film?
Well, I think we'll get back into that in a little bit. Let's get into a song, shall we?
Oh, all right. I'll always do a song. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9. You're listening to David and Brendan. I'm Brendan.
I'm David. I am all day today too.
And big thank you firstly. We've got a new member signed up today, Margaret from Essendon.
Oh,
welcome
thank you,
to the
Mar-
family.
Yes, thank
or
you,
Or renewing. Mm. And also, I forgot to say thank you to Eric for messaging in last week. He sent a lovely message in saying Eric and Athol were listening while they were preparing a meal.
Oh, okay.
Correctly.
If they're not going out for a meal, they're preparing.
Exactly. So yeah. Thank you again for all your support.
Absolutely.
Now, it is time for me to talk film.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I'm best at,
right.
What I'm most comfortable with.
Yep.
So I actually got to see...
I reckon that's changing, though.
Well, I'm actually getting a lot more comfortable talking about art.
Well, it's also from, you know, like just doing this every week, but also your day job takes you into that realm as well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But I love it. I love learning, without an attitude about it, really.
Yeah.
I'm just a sponge trying to take everything in. Now, the first film that I saw this week was the new one from Angelina Jolie called Unbroken.
Right.
Now, it is based on a true story. Going back many, many years.
It's the most beautiful story when you think about it.
It is a beautiful story, and it's shot absolutely stunningly. She got an amazing team together.
Filmed here in Australia, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, because it does have some Aussie actors in it that I saw pop up. So I didn't know that.
It's definitely filmed here in Sydney.
Because the main actor, Jack O'Donnell, was the star of Skins many years ago, which that's...
He's
English. Yeah. So I kind of had a little bit of issue with that because he's supposed to be playing an Italian-American.
Mm.
It doesn't quite... He actually performs quite well, but I just didn't quite buy it, which sort of stopped me from really connecting.
Or?
A little bit about the accent and just a little bit about his physical appearance that, you know, you can tell he's dyed his hair black and... You know, it's probably just me nitpicking, but it's something that sort of took me a little bit out of the film.
Yeah, I can remember when she was interviewed and they were auditioning for the lead role, and the minute he walked in the door, she said, oh, that's him.
Wow. So it must have been an appearance thing, because I haven't actually seen pictures of the gentleman. There is a picture of him at the end. But as an old man, you can't really make the connection.
And he
there.
Died about 2 or 3 months before the film was finished, so he didn't see the finished project.
Yeah.
Even though she used him a lot along the way and built a wonderful relationship with him, but it's that story of never giving up, isn't it? You know, like as a kid, he was treated a bit rough and bullied, and his father, and then he became a runner, and you know that whole thing of never giving up. Won an Olympic gold medal. God, what a feat in itself.
Yeah.
And then was at war, and then and you know, like, they could have died, being their plane was shot down in the ocean, and they were left there, and he just kept on saying to them, "You can't give up, you can't give up." And then they got caught, but and it was Japanese as well, who were brutal with in prisoner war camps, and they wanted to break him because he had that spirit, and he just wouldn't give up. So that's the reason I'm not going to go and see it, because I don't want to see that part of it.
That
just upsets me a little bit too much, you know, like seeing how cruel people are in war.
Yeah, it was very, they did show it sort of, like, it wasn't explicit, but it was shown quite strongly, you know, the mind games going on. But once again, I didn't quite connect with it, and I'm not 100% sure why, but it just seemed a little bit forced, or even not melodramatic enough, if that makes sense. I feel like Angelina sort of missed a few opportunities to make the story a little bit stronger, because, you know, you're just listing what you were just saying, listing the things that happen.
Yep.
You think, oh my God, you couldn't make this up. But the way it's told, it's a little bit too straightforward, and it lacks a little bit of drama that I really was sort of searching for in the story.
But it is her first one, isn't it?
It's her second film.
Second film, but this is
sort of her first big-ish budget.
Right. I thought it was Doco, the last one she did.
Oh, it was a Doco. Right. Yeah. So this is, I guess, her first narrative film.
Yep.
But she did well, but I think this is going to be her sort of launching pad. I think she can do a lot better, but this is a good starting point. It's still a good film. I guess I'm just being a little bit harsh on it. But it looks absolutely beautiful.
Did it?
Stunning to look at.
Yeah.
Because she got one of the best cinematographers in the world. So,
right, okay.
And it is written by the Coen brothers, which is really funny.
Oh.
It didn't really sort of crackle like their normal scripts are. So I think maybe because they were doing a biopic based. Basically, that it's sort of a little bit different,
right.
Sort of underplayed it a little bit. So that's them. Now the next film I got to see was it's called Birdman, the new one with Michael Keaton.
Gosh, I can't see anyone else winning the Academy Award over him. Everyone's raving. How good is it?
It is very, very impressive. It is a star turn from him. I guess it's one of those sort of. Which the Oscars love these kind of comeback stories. And it's just hilarious that he is playing this former character of Birdman.
Yep, and he played Batman.
And he played Batman for two of the films, two of the better ones, before Joel Schumacher came in and ruined the next two. Anyway, we won't go into that. But he was very impressive back in the day, I think, in Batman, as Batman. And in this one, he sort of shakes, you know, gets rid of all that, gets rid of the facade, and he's really sort of stripped down, playing this actor who... He is sort of likable in a really roundabout way, and the way he interacts with his daughter, played by Emma Stone in the film, sort of packs a punch. It's really interesting because she's very sardonic, and sort of she just rips him apart, basically.
Right.
She deserves to maybe win the Oscar as well with that.
Is she nominated?
I think she got nominated. She definitely got nominated for a Golden Globe for that performance. I think she is nominated.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. It's her first nomination.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The one thing that one of the reviews I've seen on the film, they were praising all the actors, because there was one scene where it's about a 20-minute shot. For 20 minutes they were acting. So, you don't see in film very often these days.
No. Well, I guess I think Rope by Alfred Hitchcock sort of tried
and that's
something
why,
similar.
Yeah, that's what they were saying was very Hitchcocky.
And it was. And but I think the actors that the director Alejandro González Iñárritu, if I'm correct in that right, saying that right, he sort of has assembled this, you know, actors kind of thing. Naomi Watts, Edward Norton. So they're sort of their game. This is what they live for.
Yep.
And it is one of those performances. And because it is, it's kind of looking into theatre and sort of, you know, looking behind the curtain essentially of theatre and how that's sort of done. I think it's really smart the way that they've done it, but they wouldn't have been able to do it if they didn't have such strong actors. It would have just... Because they're sort of playing these actors that are playing these roles on stage and sort of switching between playing the character on stage and then off stage. Yep. And they've all got these sort of actor facades as well. So they're sort of playing three to four different kind of people in this one role. It's just incredible.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything less than a 4-star.
No. And it is, as I said, it is one of those kind of Oscar bait films.
Yep.
For the performance, Michael Keaton's performance, but for the directing as well. I think he's got a nom. And I think it's going to do well.
Right. The other side of it is the publicity poster that I've seen in a couple of cafes. It's very much like an art photo, art painting, I should say.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't look like a film poster at all.
No, and that's why I think they're trying to blur the lines with that.
Yeah.
So I guess that sort of fits into what they were going for.
Okay, excellent.
Yes.
That's it?
Well, I should mention, I suppose, I went and saw Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, why?
Well, there was nothing else showing and I had to go see something. So Brandon, I would not recommend it.
Don't do it.
The first one was very funny, though.
Was it?
But yeah, stay away from the second one.
Oh,
that's it.
Okay.
Fairly Brothers have lost it.
I just can't do that. You know, call me a snob. I just can't see those sort of movies. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
You're on Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Sunday Arts Magazine with Brendan Bale.
Shut up.
Rufus.
Stop.
Oh, you just can't shut him up, can you? Now, Brendan and David, we're taking 3 to 4, 5 p.m., 4 to 5. That was, of course, Rufus Wayne Wright. I'll get that out.
Yep.
Gosh, what a talent he is.
The album was produced by Mark Ronson.
Mr. Mark Ronson, a very, very talented producer and musician in his own right. And we did get a message in... can't wait for Rufus to perform this year in Australia.
Yes.
That is going to be incredible. He had a gay soiree last time in Melbourne.
Oh, did
adorable.
He? Oh, right. Okay.
Now, the same person messaged in, we didn't get a name. So can you send us another message so we know who you are?
Yeah, because we like
I don't know if it's Eric. It would be lovely if it was, but let us know who it was. Great discussion, guys. Be elitist with films. Life is too short. Now, that is in reference to us talking about Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah, Brendan, I don't know if I can actually speak to you ever again.
I love my trash and my treasure.
But that's not trash. That's just bad.
Well, the first one was, it was
and a light. And look at how Destiny next year is agreeing with me.
Judged. No, I really wanted to see another movie, but nothing else was showing at that time. Anyway, if you want to get into the discussion, 0427JOY949, that's our SMS. On-air at joy.org.au. That's our email. And our number is 1-300-JOY-949. I stole your role this time, David. Now, we've got a special guest in now. Let's get into that right away, shall we?
You're going to do the intro?
Well, okay. His name is Jean-Paul Fischbach from Auspicious Arts Incubator. Now, the name alone has really piqued my interest.
Absolutely.
So, John, tell us a little bit about what you do.
We help independent artists, arts organizations, small companies get the marketing and business skills they need to thrive.
Now, that's something that we've focused on our show a little bit, getting people to talk about that side of the art business.
Yeah, their background and why. And as a matter of fact, we're actually talking about artists performing at Midsummer Festival and the importance of a lot of them, it's their first time that they're producing themselves. So it's a gamble in that respect as well as gambling with their careers, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And, we spend a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of energy to build that first show or the show that's in a festival.
Yep.
And we just... Our eye is so focused as artists on that production, but actually you need to think a little bit broader than that. Where's the second season? What are you going to do after this? Because it's going to be fabulous, right? It's going to be a huge hit and everyone's going to love you. And then you need to be ready to do something after that.
Yeah.
So that's where the business and marketing skills come in and you just need them. And it's not rocket science. It's just we were never taught that as artists.
Now you travel around Australia and a lot of regional areas as well doing this. What's the feedback like? Because you set up workshops to begin with, don't you, over a weekend before they take on the course?
Yeah. I mean, the reality is for independent artists and small arts organizations, there's no professional development. So you end up running a business when you never really intended that. You intended to make art, and now you're running a business, and there's just no professional development. There's absolutely nothing.
And we're talking about all forms, visual art as well as performing arts, aren't
we? Yeah. So we travel around the nation because we're the only arts incubator in Australia that focuses on the independent sector in these particular skills. So the need is really huge. So we travel around, and I try to get to as many regional centers as you can, small places, because particularly in the visual arts, it's amazing. The work that's out there is first class. I mean, beyond first class. It's so great. And there's that, you know, that thing we have in Australia where you just don't realize that you are so amazing because we live at the other end of the planet and we think no one sees our work, but it's really incredible. So as much as anything, I try to just share some, you know, faith and confidence.
And it would be important for those different communities out there. They might know each other, but then again, if they're a performing artist, they wouldn't know the visual artist people in a lot of cases. But coming together and hearing the words of wisdom from, you know, like somebody that's been around the block a few times, it must be inspirational for them and gives them that urge to continue on.
Yes, we get a lot of feedback that says, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think I can carry on now.
Yep.
I have faith. I'm going to get on it. I'm going to grow. I'm going to improve. I'm going to achieve, which is incredible.
Yeah. So tell us, before we go there, you're on Joy 94.9. I'm changing the topic totally.
Joy.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine. And yes, if you listen to this show very often, you hear this performer as Perfume Genius, and Queen is the track. We love it, don't we, Brendan?
We do. A little bit too much, I think, David, don't we? Oh, well, we're allowed to do that.
Yeah. Yep. Self-indulgent.
Well, I'm sure you've never been called that before.
No,
David.
Never.
Never
no.
By Sue, I'm sure, either. great song, but we're back to our conversation with the lovely Jean-Paul Fishbach from Auspicious Arts Incubator. Mm-hmm. Now, we want to go back a little bit, Jean-Paul. You've talked about it yourself as an artist. So can we go back to that? When did you start producing art yourself?
I was the little kid that put on plays in my parents' basement.
We all do that?
Yes. So I gathered the neighborhood kids together and rehearsed a show and created shows with them. The only difference was that I charged everyone a quarter to come and see the show. So there's always a bit of an entrepreneur.
Yeah, always had that business side of things.
I did.
But how did your craft, you know, how did your art evolve as you got older?
So, yeah, I mean, I was the theater kid. I mean, I went to the high school for performing arts. I, you know, wore the leg warmers, did the whole thing.
So that we can pick up an accent. Where are you originally from?
So that's Canadian.
Right.
So my accent is Canadian. And I graduated from a prestigious, you know, university training program like NIDA or VCA, one of those kinds of things in Canada, and was spit out with a Master of Fine Arts in Directing and started little companies and started festivals and traveled around and ran a very large theater company, $2.4 million operating budget, sort of old house size kind of company.
Yeah.
Did that for 10 years and built a giant performing arts center. We took lots of small companies and mentored them. So we had a studio space and we would bring four or six companies to share that studio space every year. And then me and the general manager and the marketing director and the fundraising person would mentor them and help them throughout the year. And then after 10 years, you know, as an artistic director, you're kind of done. You know, you've done everything you need to do. So I set sail and traveled the world for a year, discovered Melbourne, fell in love with this city and the art scene. It was a particularly cool time to come. So I came back for the month of sort of January, February. It was during midsummer that year.
All right.
10 years ago.
Okay. Oh, but how did you cope with the weather, though? Coming from Canada.
You know, you just trade minus 40 for plus 40. Same.
Same,
but different.
Yes.
Just said, all right. I said to the universe, all right, here's the deal. If Melbourne, Australia is the next place I'm supposed to live, job, husband, place to live, you got 30 days.
Oh, really?
Yep. And by day 8,
yeah,
I had all three. So I said, okay.
Day 8. So you found your partner.
Yes, but he dumped me for God.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a first.
Some competition there.
That's a first.
Really?
That's a first. Never been dumped for God before. And then you know, the job changed and everything changed, but it was a chance to sort of reinvent myself as an artist. You know, I was a theater director, opera director. That was pretty much, you know, my pedigree. So coming to Australia, there was no chance with this accent that, you know, I was going to be accepted as a director at the tier that I was in Canada. So it was a time to reinvent. So I published a children's book. I created True Secrets Melbourne, the app on your phone that takes you to wild, weird stories of Melbourne at locations. You know, I did a bit of directing. I did my first film. So it was really a beautiful chance to sort of branch out and be a different kind of artist.
And you produced as well. You actually brought somebody very famous within our community here to Melbourne too for a show. Yeah, that was you. I remember I organised it through Joy. I can't remember the famous writer.
Oh, David Sedaris.
Yes.
Yes. No, I didn't bring him here though.
Didn't you? No. I thought you did.
No, he was coming anyway.
Oh, right. Okay.
But
oh,
yes.
You should have said yes.
So I did that. I did. But I did the Australian premiere of his hysterical story called The Santaland Diaries, starring Russell Fletcher. It was great fun. So it's just been a really great time. And I became an Australian citizen, oh, like 7 years ago now.
Yep. And where did the idea of this come about, you're doing now?
I looked around at this incredibly vibrant independent art scene, and one of my best mates is John Paxnos, who runs a company called Auspicious Arts Projects.
Yep.
And he and I were talking about the plight of the independent artist, and most of them are awesome, but they throw in the towel after about 3 to 5 years. And it's not because the art sucks. It's because they don't have the marketing and business skills. So I said, well, maybe I could do the same kind of mentoring that I did back in Canada. So we put together a bit of a plan. We got some funding from all three tiers of government, and the incubator was born 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And it's just gone from strength to strength, hasn't
it?
Over the years.
Really.
And you're like, so you're doing a workshop in Bendigo at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
What's the dates?
The 30th and 31st, I believe, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. And you know, I believe there's already great interest in it with the local community up there.
There's a whole cultural renaissance going on in Bendigo. We call it the cultural gold rush.
Yeah, but it is that whole town. But just over many years here in Melbourne, you meet people from Bendigo all the time from all walks of life. They're all, you know, they come. It's almost the equivalent in Sydney. It's always Newcastle. All the arts people seem to come from Newcastle. Seems to be Bendigo, that region that they
from. Don't tell Castlemaine that, though.
It's up the road, though, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's sort of
the same. Neighbours,
yeah,
neighbours.
Yeah, they're neighbours. But then you're doing one in Melbourne as well.
Mm.
Which, you know, like, is it very different when you do it in a major city?
Sure. Artists in major cities sort of sit there with their arms folded, looking askance at you. Whereas when you're in the regions, it's, you know, arms open, big hugs. Let's go. Come on, we really need this. So it's a bit hard. It's a bit of a tougher sell in Melbourne. But the fact is that these are the skills that everybody needs. So, you know, it's called The Secrets of Success because part of my journey was I got to travel with top CEOs all across Canada, and it was really incredible for 2 years in learning their side of business, only to realize that as artists, we're actually better at business. We're what I call intuitive entrepreneurs.
Oh, right, yep.
You know, we do really awesome, really complicated projects. We deliver on time, on budget. We're really good. We're good at talking about what we do. We're really passionate.
Passion, yes.
It's just that we're not consciously aware.
Mm.
So part of the day is trying to get people to be consciously aware of what we do as artists and how we're so amazing at business, really. Yeah.
So what does the workshop entail?
Well, it takes you through 5 different things. We do a little bit of branding, a little bit of understanding what marketing is and the difference between marketing and advertising. We spend a lot of time looking at beliefs, because one of the things that I find for Australian artists and Canadian artists as well is we don't believe that we can succeed. We actually don't have an image of ourselves being successful.
Yeah.
And so we work on where those beliefs come from and changing some of that beliefs. And then we look at the nuts and bolts of business, incorporation, tax, some of that sort of dry, more dry stuff. And then we look at how do you manage money? How do you get the money? You know, we have a saying in the incubator that says the market is security, funding is insecurity.
Mm.
So it's about not chasing the grant game as a sustainable option. You get the grant because it capitalizes the first venture, but then you use your entrepreneurial skills to carry on after that.
Yeah. And we've had people over time, and you say to them, well, you're a small little theatre company. you know, like, must be very risky. Obviously, they're people that have day jobs as well. And they said, but you've got to take those risks, you know, like, that's because we've got the love for it, and you've got to invest a bit of money, you know, like, and one of the smartest things, and a lot of artists don't do it, hire a publicist. You know, it's not rocket science, but if you hire a publicist, it's got us on this show.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the reason we got in here today, because we'd hired a publicist and they've got the contacts with you. So, you know, like, there is all those golden little areas if you don't know anything about it. So after the workshop, what happens? Do they walk away and that's it, or have you got something to follow on from it?
No, part of it is trying to explain that, you know, you need to invest in yourself. You have to put some time, some money, and you need to get the skills that you need. You need to get a publicist if that's what you need. You need to get a coach. Lots of small businesses have coaches, but as artists, we think we can do it all by ourselves.
Yeah.
So what we do in the incubator is, after the day, for people that are more serious about it and really say, okay, this is it and I can do this, I'm going to step up, roll up my sleeves, do some work, then there's an online course that we have. It's called the Artist Transformation School. And it's an 8-week, really intense online experience.
Oh, okay.
So part of it's live, right, and part of it's recorded videos, and then it all ends in a big 2-day workshop with everyone together. But that really sets you up. So, you know, for people that are more serious, we can talk to them about enrolling in that online course. We run that 3 times a year. And that's where, you know, most people go after.
Right.
Now, from your point of view, though, this collaborative sort of thing that you're doing with the artists, is that something that sort of pushes you on as well? Like, do you get a lot out of this whole process of dealing with the artists yourself?
Oh, it's immensely rewarding.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
It would be, yeah.
At the end of the week, you know, when I put my little head on my little pillow, you know, I know that I've done good in the world. Because you just see artists, I mean, when they start to thrive, there's nothing more exciting to see, you know, a visual artist have the confidence to stand up and talk about their work for the first time ever, you know, to sell half of their works at an exhibition. You know, it's just so rewarding, you know, to find that actor land the role that they wanted. Mm. You know, it's just, that sort of stuff is amazing, to be able to help artists.
And it is called the incubator. So there's kind of that sort of paternal thing going on. Do you feel that sort of connection with the artists? Like, you want to just protect them and make sure they sort of soar?
Absolutely. Craig and I, my partner in the incubator, often say that, you know, as far as confidence goes, that we believe that you can succeed. We look at that artist in the eyes and we go, you're awesome. We know you can succeed. So borrow that confidence from us. We'll hold that confidence for you until you can have it yourself.
How do you find out more about it? Because, you know, like, and we have a lot of regional people listening. So the Bendigo one's coming up at the end of the month. And then the Melbourne one, I think it's about the 16th, is that
right? February, yeah.
You know, like, website?
Yes. We have a website that is pretty user-friendly. So if you go to www.auspiciousincubator.com.au, that will give you all things incubator. there's a Hot Tip Tuesday that comes out every week that's a little bite-sized piece of information that can help you with your career and your business.
Yep.
And then information about the Artist Transformation School, and then there's a link to a page that'll talk about the next Secrets of Success and where it's going to be and how you register.
Now, the one in Bendigo, I was reading that the local council is actually supporting it, aren't they? So therefore, the ticketing is cheaper there because they've, you know, like,
they're helping, subsidizing.
Yeah, yeah, helping the local community, which is lovely, isn't
it? Yes. We get a lot of requests from councils that call us and say, can you come and do this? Because we have such an incredible group of artists and we want to help them. But, you know, councils are, you know, there are too many mouths. So you can't give every mouth a fish.
Yep.
But you can teach people to fish.
Yep.
So they're really interested in having us come and say, can you come help the artist? So they're more than happy to subsidize.
Yeah.
You know, it's important that the artist put some skin in the game. You know, I mean, the times that we've had councils that want to subsidize it 100%, you get a lot of people that don't show up.
Oh, yeah. That's a shame.
Now, we've got a nice message in from Melina. Always maintain some artistic integrity along the way. Loving the conversation. So, yeah, it's nice to hear that sort of feedback about people that are going to get something out of this, really.
Sure, sure. Mm. I mean, that's one of the thing. One of the arguments always is about the artistic integrity when you talk about business. And you say, oh, well, you know, the business will taint my art, you know, and it will, you know, my art is pure. Well, have pure art and be wealthy. It's not an either or. Really, it's not.
Or be able to afford to continue on doing what you're doing.
Yeah. But the more pure the art is, the more pure you are to the art, the more successful you will be.
Yep.
So really, it's not about compromising your art to be in business. It's about sticking to it. staying as pure as you can be, because that's going to make you the biggest success. Yeah.
John Paul, thank you so much for coming in today. I know you've only flown back into the country today. So thank you so much for coming in. What's the website again?
It's www.auspiciousincubator.com.au.
Thank you. And we must get you back in another day. There's so much we could talk to you, I'm sure.
Awesome.
You were on Joy 94.9.
Fun people, fun shows. Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine, and it is that time.
It's gone.
Once again, to say goodbye, but it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for listening in and sending some messages in as well. That's always lovely.
Yeah, and don't forget, you know, like Midsummer has started today, and there's shows out there. There's so much to go and see. And as John Paul was saying on air, you know, like the artists put so much time and effort in, and, you know, they need your support. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to support them just as much as they're putting a show on for us.
And there are free events as well, so check that out.
Right. Okay, so happy midsummer, everyone, and we'll be back next week. Same time, same radio station.
Au revoir.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.